You are listening to audio from Victory Church. To check out more resources or to support the work of the ministry, visit victorybelleton.org.
I don't think, as a church body, you know how much influence you can have. This is not a correction. It's really an encouragement. I tell this to Mike every time I'm here. I always stay at Mike's place because we get to watch TV and talk and eat popcorn. Just two old guys. That's right. One older guy. And then me. Thank you. Yeah. That's what happens when you start sitting in back, Mike. I think you appreciate what God's put together, but I don't think you fully appreciate what God's put together. Really, if it weren't for Jesus, a lot of you guys wouldn't hang out with each other. You know, I mean, you're all, as they say in Minnesota, different. You're all real different. But y'all, who did that? Well, bless your heart. You can tell him later what that means in Southern. He can forgive me in private. This is a most unique church. It is multi-generational. There are older people and younger people. There are people, there are families that are healthy, and there are families that are struggling. There are people who are on fire for God, and there are people here going, well, I sort of believe in God, but this following Jesus thing, that's sort of hard on me. And you know, there's such a cross-section of humanity here. Plus, you know, not everybody's got the same job. And it's just an amazing group. It sounds like a Monty Python movie, you know, when they go. But it is distracting. So, I can't. Some of you laughed. That means you saw that movie. Anyway, just give the kids sponges. Yeah. I'm saying all that to say this, and I believe this is prophetic. God is stirring up churches. Not every church. He's stirring up churches where they're going, why not us? We know there's more. We don't want to do things our way. We want to do things God's way. Why not us? And what am I talking about? You know, there's revival and then there's revival. There's revival when God pours out his Spirit and people get radically saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a refreshing and there's healing and all that. And, man, I want that. I really do. But what do we do when we don't have that? What do we do in the middle of it? Just wait? Wait for the next big thing. For the last, I'm going to say 4 years, you know, I'm some sort of leader in certain circles, and people ask me, so what's God doing, right? And I've gotten so many YouTube videos. What do you think of this guy? What do you think of this guy? You know, and I'm not going to dismiss most of them. No, all of them. Most of them, I don't know. And for a long while, I didn't have a real answer. Like, what's God doing? It's pretty easy to see what Satan's doing. Hopefully you know there's a difference between God's ways and the ways of the world and the devil, right? And if you look at what's going on across the world, but what the heck, let's just talk about the United States. The United States is not the only nation that Jesus loves, but we live here. There's a lot of bad, nasty things that, gosh, even 2-3 years ago, we would have gone, where'd that come from, right? And it's actually been cooking for a long time, actually 20, 30 years. But there's some things that are going on that you go, oh my gosh, is this really happening? And it's not just a surprise. People who know Jesus and have a sense of righteousness, they're going, I don't understand all the things that are going on. But most of what's going on, it's not righteous. It's evil. It's like, it's weird. It's bothersome. And I don't know about you. In order to respond to all that the right way, you got to know what the all that is. You got to know what the enemy looks like, okay? I'm saying all that to say this. Our land, you know, it could be our community, it could be the state of Minnesota. What the heck happened to this state? Sorry. I mean, just really some crazy stuff. But you got to put words to what's going on instead of just going, oh, well, things are going to hell in a handbasket, and you know, yeah. That never helps anyone. It never does. Because what usually happens is, oh, it's really bad, and I'm just going to retreat into my own life and hope it doesn't get to me and hope it doesn't affect me. But the fact is, 4 years ago, there are things that weren't happening to us that we're now starting to feel it. You know, like it's like the enemy's closer to our door, right? So here's something. I think our land, we'll call it our land, our community, our culture, our land needs healing. And some of you are going, amen, and I need healing. I'm part of the problem. Since it's going to be recorded, that's why I'm going to read this. Here are things that are blatantly on the rise, just not a little bit, but a lot of it. Fear. Some of us have been afraid for so long, we forgot what it's like not to be afraid. Confusion. And when I mean confusion, it's not just, where am I? You know, Google Maps, help me. Confusion is, we are now at a place where it's not clear who we can trust. I mean, really. You know, where do you get your information, right? I mean, it's really difficult. You know, so where do we get some truth? Where do we get some boundaries, right? There's so much loneliness. People have been lonely and isolated for at least 4 years. But for so long, they don't know what it's like to be connected again. They just don't. That's why I like this church. You guys know how to eat together, you know how to hang out together, you can do life together. But there's a loneliness that, especially amongst younger people. Because if this is your life, you're lonely. Anxiety, insecurity, deception. I mean, a lot of the propaganda that's going on is so convincing because it's been going on for so long. We think that's reality, but there's a lot of things that were said to be true, but they weren't. There's a lot of scams. I'm not trying to drum up some political thing here right now. But there's a lot of things we know now that what was told to us maybe 4 years ago, so we're going, wait a second, that wasn't true. It was a scam. It was propaganda. There are some people who are in places of influence. They're deluded. They're nuts. Now, this may sound unchristian, but... Oh, I can't go there. I want to go there, but I won't. There are people who, in years past, if they presented themselves then the way they're presenting themselves now, the American Medical Association, the American Psychiatric Association would go, you have a mental illness and you need treatment. And now those same things are not only quote-unquote normal, but they're to be celebrated. How did that happen? By the way, if you think what I'm saying is unloving, all I'm doing is pointing out sin. That's all I'm doing. And you know, since Jesus knows more about sin than anybody, and he died for sin, when he talks about sin, he's not being unloving. He's just being clear. There's no hate in my heart toward anybody except the enemy. There's a lot of manipulation. A lot of intimidation, suspicion, and now it gets really interesting, factions and division. I mean, there are some people that I used to be friends with, and now I'm on the wrong side of the tracks because either I believe in Jesus or how I voted. But not just division like, oh, we're different. It's animosity. And have you noticed that? That what's happened, say, in the last 4 years? More and more and more and more division. Rebellion, that's always a good one. Nobody tells me what to do. Not only do I get to decide what I get to do, I get to decide my own reality. And if you don't agree with it, you're a bad person. That's rebellion. Like, and you know, you get more of that and you go, what do I do with this? You know, you could lash out and be mean and be hateful, but it's like, what do I do with this when something that used to be a real pain now is prevailing? What do I do with it, especially as a Christian? There's more and more violence. I don't know if it's more corruption or we're seeing more and more corruption that used to be under the radar. So, there's a lot of good things happening in our life. You know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, but I got a hot wife and great kids. All right? I'm good. You know, I've got good friends. All right? There's a lot of good going on, but just bigger picture, I'm going, oh my gosh, my community. Oh my gosh, the school systems. Oh my gosh, an already imperfect political process is going wacko. Oh my gosh. My land, if I care about my land, I will probably more be concerned than I was 4 years ago. Am I the only person in this room who's going, hey, maybe our land needs healing? Is this it? I mean, guys, I'm not being mean, because if you're going, oh, well, Ben, that's really nice, but can you talk about something more relevant to our lives? I tell you, what's out there is already here. So here's the question. Given that our land needs healing, what do we do? Now, my kids, if they were here, they could lip sync this. But I can always tell what you really care about by what you do. I always say this. And so when my kids go, for one, oh, I want to play a guitar. I go, really? Okay. You want to start saving up for one? No. You really don't want to play guitar. Or, I saved up for a guitar. I really want to play guitar. How about lessons? No. You know, no. There's something about you want it, but when you really care about something, it's sort of look for best practices. But you're a coach, right? Well, I just want to be the star of the team. Well, you got to practice. You got to work on your craft and all that sort of. I don't want to do that. I just want to score a lot. You know, no, that's not going to work. So there's something, when you care about something, the evidence will be, what do you do? and you could just lash out and be intuitive and all that, or you could actually think about what are the best practices. Like, you do some research. You talk to other people. And, you know, if you're having problems with your marriage, we're having problems with our marriage. Oh, we'll work it out. How long have you been working on it? Oh, 30 years. You know, if you had a good best practice, you'd have had it fixed by now. Maybe you need some outside help to upgrade how you do things. You know, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing, expecting different results. So there's something about, so what are the best practices? In light of all that's going on, well, we always have Facebook, I'm not totally against Facebook, but if that's your primary way of reacting to what's going on, that's probably not a best practice. You're just feeling better about yourself and maybe informing a few other people. Or, well, lock and load, baby. We're going to get so many guns. I'm not against preparation, by the way. We're going to get so many guns that if anybody comes around my house wanting to steal my Twinkies, it'll be a bad time. I submit to you that God has got a foundational best practice that is available to every Christian. Now, whether or not God calls you to rise up in politics or rise up in protest or rise up and do any of these things, fine. Be led by God. But I believe God has got a foundational template. When you know that our land needs healing, what's God's foundational best practice? If you really care about the condition of our community, if you really care about our land, if you really care, there's something about you'd look for the best practices. And there's this guy. His name is God. He's really, really smart. And I figure if I could find his practices, they'd probably be the best ones. Just by default. Because he's just so smart. He's smarter than me. That's hard to believe. But so I believe if we care about our land, God wants to strengthen and establish a foundation. So if God calls you to do something specific, you'll do it not out of a reaction to evil, but you'll do it out of a response to what God wants to do in your life. Do you know what I'm saying? There's something about humans. There's a problem. I'm going to go fix it, and then if it doesn't work, then I'll go talk to God. But there's something about God going, hey, it's worse than you know. Why don't you find out what my foundational best practice is, and get that laid in, and then I'll show you how to push back against that. I'll show you how to not just survive, but thrive. I'll show you how to really make a difference. God's way. So the scripture, I spent a lot of time setting this up, but there's a scripture that in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I think it's a template for us. It was great for Israel, but New Testament says that a lot of the things that happened in the Old Testament, they're there either as warnings or to teach us, right? And God has a lot of patterns that he repeats throughout the Old Testament, and we can learn from it even in the New Testament. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says this. If, that's a big if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. By the way, that word wicked, it's not like, and just stabbing things. Wicked is basically ways that displease God. Evil in the Old Testament can be iniquity. It says, living our own life in our own strength according to our own ideas. Okay? My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then, there's three promises. God's not tricking us. Then, I'll hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. Wait a second, God. There's all this evil, and you want us to humble ourselves and pray, seek your face, and like the problem's out there, and you want us to turn from our stuff? Oh, come on now. What's the point of that? Here's the first point. Have you noticed almost everything in the kingdom is indirect? Everything you need for life and godliness comes through your relationship with Jesus. That's 2 Peter chapter 1. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything you need will be added to you. And look, we're humans. We're going, God wants me to have this. I'm going to make the beeline. Go right to it. How does that work? How's that working for you? Oh, my husband, I can't believe I said yes to him, but I'll be faithful to him, but he is such a rock, piece of wood. Oh, and I keep on telling him he needs to change. I'm just trying to help him. I'm just trying to fix him. How's that working for you? My wife doesn't listen to me, but and I keep on yelling at her to listen to me. Yeah, how's that working? We know what we want, and we try to go right after it where God's going, hey, you know, maybe you should pray for your spouse. Maybe you should do things differently. That once you find out from God how to pray for it. You know what I'm saying? There's a kingdom principle of indirection that is throughout Scripture, and God's going, yeah, the land's pretty bad, and it's getting worse. If my people who are called by my name will pray, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I'll heal the land. This is a pattern that God has. So I just want to briefly go through each one. Listen, this is not a call. There's no altar call here today. There's no this life-changing response to the message. This is you get to decide whether or not you want to grow in God's best practice so that you can see revival in your land. And it won't happen today. But this God said, if you really want it, I got a best practice here. And if you'll start doing this, watch how I heal the land. What would it be like if every church in America just decided to do that? I wonder what God would do. And that's why I'm saying this is it's like you guys are like a dry tinderbox. God wants to throw a match in there. Why not here? Why not you guys? Being something that over time will start something where all of a sudden you see God start healing your community, healing your region. Wouldn't that be cool? Anyway, if my people were called by my name, okay, my people nowadays would be, if you are born again, and if you have the name of Jesus, right, like you're a Christian, not a practicing Christian, right? I almost had a funny story, but I don't want to lose time. There's something about, you know you're in, or you have doubts. If you're in, if you know that you're a son or daughter of God, not because you're good or because you've fixed up all your problems, but because you've surrendered your past and present and future to Jesus, he gets to own you, he gets to forgive you and live in you. If you've just made that transaction, this scripture's for you. The scripture's for me. If my people who are called by my name. So, if you're not one of his people, God loves you. But this message is probably not for you. But if you're one of his people. I spend a lot of time with young people. You know, thank God I don't wear like leather skinny jeans you know, things like that, you know, peeps. Anyway. Yeah. Who was that? No, I just want to know. That was pretty funny. Was that you who said amen? Okay, you know, your kids. Oh, is he? Oh, well, you, of course. Right. What? I don't want to compete. Anyway. So this is for you. Whether you're going hard after God or you're struggling in your walk, this message is for you. My people who are called by my name, that's us. If they will humble themselves. Here's what I think humility looks like, real humility. To me, humility means holding my opinions lightly. Just really think about that. We all got deep convictions, we got principles and all, but have you ever held something really deeply and found out either that you were wrong or that there were some things that were more important than the principles you held? Just hold it. Look, raising my kids, you know, early on, they need to learn how to obey. They do, right? But then, you know, they keep on getting older, right? And if I keep on pushing that thing, I'm going to lose them. And I'm going to, it won't be good. So I've got to go, okay, they need to obey, but now I got to figure out a way to inspire them, right? I've held my principles lightly. I know they're good principles, but when they're different circumstances, if there's something more important coming, I can hold on to that. That for me, that takes humility. To hold my opinions or my practices lightly, well, this is the way I've always done it. Maybe it's time to do something different. Well, this is the way I've always done it. Maybe it's time to do something different. Do you want to do just what you want to do, or do you want to engage in best practices? Here's another one. For humility, what do you do when the clear teaching of Scripture conflicts with your ideas, your thoughts, your positions, your lived experiences? What are you going to do with that? Love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. Are you kidding? I'm looking for a place to bury the bodies. No, really. Bless those who curse you. What? I mean, what do we do when there's conflict? Pray for your leaders. Most of us read into that, pray only for the leaders that you agree with. What do we do when the clear teaching of Scripture conflicts with your ideas and your experiences and what you really feel? God doesn't dismiss all these things, but what do we do? And it takes humility to yield to God. It helps to know that on your best day with 30 cups of coffee, right, and like an overdose of B12, those ideas come out of that won't compare to God's. Because God's God, He's smarter, and no matter what we think is the best thing, have you ever noticed that whatever God's way is, it's better, right? It's better. We'll humble ourselves and pray. Now, praying, there's two parts. I want to make this so practical. Two parts to this. If my people will humble themselves, so hold their opinions lightly, maybe I've got some better ideas. And then, if you'll pray, there's two aspects. One is, start establishing a continuous line of communication with Jesus. Like, talk to Him all the day. Don't do it out loud in Walmart. Oh, God! Look, they're going to cart you off. But there's something about talking with God on all kinds of occasions. Oh, I got to go in and ask for a raise. God, please help. May your grace be there. May he give me more than I'm asking for. But if he says no, God, give me grace and all that sort of stuff. It's much better to have that conversation than when you get disappointed and you have to pray that you don't kill your boss. Really. There's something about, how's your everyday prayer life. I'm not talking about a religious thing. I'm talking about, do you set aside time to talk to God and listen to God? So you're asking him stuff. You're asking, when you establish a prayer life, you know what you're doing? You're declaring that you're dependent on him. I had a great conversation with a really good friend of mine. And we're talking about, yeah, God's just really incredible. Where we're weak, he is strong, right? And I said, hey, John, you know, the more I think about it, even the places that I'm strong, I'm not very strong, I'm weak. And we started laughing. This isn't a Burger King. We're just laughing. Like, oh my gosh, we're weak. And we decided then that we would maintain our conversation, our prayer life. To keep, you know, just keep the communication line open. But that cultivates a sense of depending on God before we depend on ourselves. It's really a good idea. I mean, I know some younger people, they're going, oh, there's Billy and there's Tommy. I don't know. He's cute, but he's got more money and a better car. And, you know, all this sort of, I don't know what to do, you know, and I really liked this guy, what to do. You know, when you're like that, I can guarantee the prayer life is spotty at best. Because when you have that conversation, God, I depend on you, then you don't feel like you have to make a crisis choice. Because you're depending on God. I mean, he's really smart. He'll go, yeah, he's got a better car, but he's a jerk. You know, I love him. I died for him. But, you know, why don't you go? No, don't even go with the second guy. And that third guy, he's safe, but he's not for you. How about you just wait for the fourth guy? When a young lady does that, when she's talking with God, there's something about developing a sense of dependence on God that's foundational, and it's not just reactionary. We're great at depending on God when what we're doing is not working. The second thing is about just praying. Do you pray for your community? Do you pray for your school? Do you pray for your nation? Do you pray for your leaders? The things that are the most nasty bad, pray for that. I mean, don't pray for evil. Oh, God, our nation needs healing. God, there's so much evil and corruption. God, it's overwhelming. No human can do this. God, we look to you. God, we're praying. Now, if out of that kind of prayer, God says, I want you to stand up and lead a fight, fine. But it comes out of that foundational thing. There's something about when you see the bad stuff, are you praying into that instead of just talking about it over coffee at the local coffee shop, and you walk away feeling, well, I'm right because I got someone else who agrees with me. That's not going to change anything. It'll make you feel better. But when you go, hey, listen, man, this leader and this, oh, what a, let's pray over coffee. It's a different feel. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Years ago, my oldest, who was very young, I was reading that and she goes, stop. Seek God's face? We can actually seek God's face? What would it look like to seek his face? I mean, and what would happen? What would it even look like? I mean, she was really freaked out, the idea that God would go, hello, it's me. I mean, it really bothered her. And this is how I explained it. Told her to close her eyes. And I said, now you tell me when you can feel me. And let's say this is her nose, okay? And I would go like this, and like this, and like this. And then she'd go, there. And I'd go, open your eyes. And there I was. Did you sense my presence? She goes, yes. I go, let's do it again. And she goes, okay. And I took a piece of paper and folded it. And I put it about this far away from her nose. All right? And I'm going, and then she's going like this, and this, and this. And my nose was touching the paper. And she goes, and I go, open your eyes. She just saw the paper. And then she realized, like, I was closer to her the second time around. And I go, you couldn't sense my presence, could you? No. Because there was something between you and me. You knew I was there. You knew I loved you. But that sense of my presence, the sense of connectedness, the sense of relationship. God's sitting there going, if my people would pray, do that, and seek my face, make it a priority, to an aim, to not just, oh God, I have these needs, which is there's nothing wrong, or I have these concerns. God's not there just so we can pray and get answers. God's there so we can have a relationship, a sense of being connected to Him that is the best thing in the world. When all hell is breaking loose and you can come into the presence of God and you go, God, I don't even know what to do, but here I am. And you sense Him. There's no paper between you and Him. That's the best place to be. That's our happy place. That's our place of strength. That's our place of sanity. We are most sane in the presence of God. We have the best perspective in the presence of God. And I'm not talking about, oh, do you see the angels? I'm not talking about these kinds of experiences. I'm talking about the difference between having, just connecting, and then having a relationship. For those of you who are married, you love each other, you're married, you're not going to have a divorce, right? But it's like there's a disconnect between you and the other person. You love them, you talk about your schedules, you get everything done, but there isn't that sense of, we're connected. You know, but when you have that sense of just connected, like you're together, that's a great place for a marriage. Where you just go, honey, I just like being with you. Here, you have the remote. I mean, that's the presence of God. You get what I'm saying? But notice this. If we make it a point to not just get our needs met or intercede on behalf of some real evil things, but make it a point, God, I want to seek your face. I would like to develop a relationship with you where that sense of connectedness, it's not just a once thing. It's like a baseline for me. Make that an aim. Now, here's the fun part. If you make that your aim, as you're drawn close to God, if you have any pieces of paper between you and Him, you don't want that paper. Whatever it is, you go, Lord, I want to be close to you. I know you love me and you're faithful to me, but that sense of connectedness, oh, this piece of paper, oh, it's my Aunt Jill. Yeah, I don't like her. I mean, I think she's a witch, and she really hurt me and all this, and God's going, you know, why don't you forgive her as I've forgiven you? And you do that, here's what happens. He removes the paper, and there's a sense of connectedness. Can you imagine if every Christian, wherever you are, say, God, I'm going to set aside time, you know, read your Bible, I'm going to pray and all, but I know, I want to know what it's like to be connected with you, not just in the morning, but when I go to school, or where this sense of connectedness, and if there's anything that sort of gets in the way, I'll just know it, and I'll go, God, what is it? Take, you know, if there's a ream of paper, burn it all. I mean, there's something about, like, what's worth more than having that sense of connectedness to God? I don't think there is anything. When you seek His face, when you seek His presence, it won't be that hard to turn from stuff that displeases God. You go, oh, God, I'm sorry. I should have been praying for my leader instead of just tearing him down and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I'm still going to oppose him, but I'm going to pray for the guy. You know, there's something about that. So if my people will just humble themselves, pray and seek my face, God's promise. Well, seek my face and turn from the ways. You know, let God take away the pieces of paper. One is he'll hear from heaven. It's good to know that when you're talking, we know God hears us. But also we get forgiven. That piece of paper is standing between us and God, even though, you know, he loves us and all. When he forgives us, it's like, we don't have to talk about that piece of paper ever again. He'll forgive us. And then watch this. And I will heal their land. Isn't that weird? It's just 2 points that I want to end with. If we started just little by little, started living this way in our own personal walks, we won't just be improved. We'll be transformed. We'll just be transformed. Less paper, right? More wisdom, more self-control, more perspective. We'll be transformed. And here's the fun part. It's a long bumper sticker. Transformed people transform people. Think God's so smart. He's so smart. He goes, you know, if you just do this, I'll heal the land. And then we do it. We do his best practice. Guess what's happened? We get transformed. And all of a sudden, we become an answer to our prayer, oh God, please help change our land, because God changes us. You know, I love it when young people get on fire for God. Absolutely. Jesus is real and all that sort of stuff. And then they go tell their friends, go, hey man, y'all going to hell. And I don't want you to go to hell. Why don't you go to heaven with me? And Jesus is much more fun. And the kids go, okay. And they do it. It's amazing. Transform people, transform people. Revive people like fires. Following this, we become an answer to the prayer, oh God, heal our land. And here's the second thing. Some people use the 2 Chronicles 7:14 as, well, things are really bad. We got to batten down the hatches and we got to pray. We got to do all this sort of stuff so God will heal our land. And that's true. But 2 Chronicles 7:14 is not meant as an emergency measure. It's actually a template for basic Christian living. You know, talk with God, be humble, seek his face, let him change you, and then out of that you obey. I mean, this is template for Jesus 101. And I can't prove this. But wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, you can take this and start walking it out. And you will see the benefits in your own life. But this church will have even more influence in the region than it's ever had before. So I want to pray for us. Would that be all right? There's no altar call. Although, this is a quick one. I'm not going to ask anybody to get up or... But you know who you are if you're watching. And you know Jesus is not real in your life and he never has been. You just know it. And you're dark and lonely and mad and confused and all this sort of stuff, maybe embarrassed. The answer out of where you're at is, Jesus, I surrender, right in the middle of my stuff. Let Jesus save you as is. So if that's you, I'm going to pray for you, and then I'll pray for us. Lord, for those, they don't need to act like Christians. They need to become one. They need to become a son or daughter. God, I ask you to give them grace now to yield to your offer to rescue them, save them. And God, for those of us here who we know we're sons and daughters, but our hearts are far from you, we're sort of like respectable prodigal sons and daughters, we feel your beckoning to just come on home. Just humble ourselves, start talking to you again. Get reconnected to you, and then change some stuff. For the prodigals amongst us, God, I pray that their feet would be quick to run home to you. And here's a prayer for all of us. I don't know why I'm so emotional. Jesus, we are your people. Teach us your ways so that we can turn to you wholeheartedly. We don't even know how to do that. God, teach us how to humble ourselves. Lord, teach us how to pray. Help us seek and keep seeking your face. God, give us such a hunger and love for your presence that turning from what displeases you will be a joy and not a burden. God, transform us so that we can transform others. God, we look to you. We care about our land. We really care about our land. God, we look to you. Would you heal our land and use us? Amen.
Amen. We're going to do just 60 seconds. Olivia, you keep playing. Here's what I want to do. Just 60 seconds of sitting. Maybe you want to close your eyes. And just think, if this message has impacted your heart, just think, Lord, here is how today I can begin to apply this. Often we walk away from a message like this and we say, hey, that was good. Good word. And then we go and have lunch. What I want to do is an opportunity is maybe it is for you. You know, you've got that paper Ben talks about between you and God, and maybe it's an area of sin in your life and you know it's there and you want it removed. Here's just an opportunity to say, Lord, would you forgive me? Maybe you know that, as Ben has said about walking in prayer, you have not been in prayer talking with God. Maybe today it's you're going to make a commitment to the Lord. Lord, each day I'm going to start my day rolling out of bed to talk to you. Whatever it is, whatever it may be, the Lord will speak to you if you ask. Let's just do 60 seconds of silence here before the Lord with some music playing and just ask the Lord, what would you have me do with this? Because it starts with our yes.